It's the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time again to head on over to the World News Center and the world of Bill McSci-Fi to say hello to Bill McCormick. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you this slightly gray but yet beautiful day? They just planted all sorts of pretty flowers by my apartment.
So I'm feeling like I'm going to bloom.
Yeah, there was some sort of local high school project, and they've got maybe like 80 flowers across the street from us now. And it's like, all right, that's cool.
That's nice. I hope
no idea what it's doing.
I hope, you know, people don't destroy them.
No, so far, they've been up for a couple of weeks now. Today, they're all in bloom. That's what made me notice.
That's
them.
Good.
It was bright yellow outside.
Teenagers out with their...
taking pictures of them.
That's good. Keep the teenagers with their pranks away from them.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the teenagers with their pranks are the ones who planted them. So.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. A couple of quick things here. We've spoken a couple of times about scams on the internet.
Once or twice,
last
yeah.
Last Sunday, I got hit by one.
No!
Yeah.
What happened?
And, there's this new scam going around, and a couple of my friends got hit by it, too. So it's just like, it's brand new. But basically, these people, they find you on Instagram as their venue of choice.
Okay.
But they find you on Instagram and they follow your page, which, you know, they don't need to be your friend. They don't need to have any real interaction with you to do that. Just click follow. You can follow a Kardashian or whatever. You just follow.
Yeah.
They follow you for a while and they even like a couple of your posts. So they're innocuous to you. It's like every now and then you see their name and go, oh, okay, that's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they write to you and go, hey, you know, I'm up for being an influencer here on Instagram. Can you take a screenshot of the link I'm going to send you? And they do that, and then it pops through to your phone because your phone is connected to your Instagram account. So, again, there's no warning bells here.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a screenshot of the thing. You haven't clicked anything. You're not, you know, not really doing anything. You just take a screenshot, send it back. And what you have done is given them a screenshot where they all they have to do is retype the information at the top of the screenshot, and they now have your password.
How does that work out? How do they get your password from that?
Well, because it changes your password, and it goes through the the changing of the password is authorized by that link.
Oh,
they sent
okay.
You a link to change your password.
Gotcha.
And you send them a link authorizing to change that, so they punch it in, and whammo, they control your Instagram account. And I stopped this in 30 seconds. I mean, I'm pretty good about internet stuff. I'm pretty fast about this.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped this person in 30 seconds. I had them blocked. I had them barred. They were gone. And in 30 seconds, they sent out close to 10,000 buy Bitcoin from Bill McCormick email things and posts. They wiped out my Instagram page. I lost it completely.
Oh, man.
The Bill McSci-Fi page that I had attached it to on Facebook was also covered with spam and Bitcoins and everything else. It took me 3 days to clean it all out, and they're still using my mailing list from Instagram, and I had several thousand people up there that they're sending this stuff out to. Unfortunately, most of the people who follow me are relatively, you know, savvy, and they're like, you got hacked, and I got hacked, and they're like, okay, we'll just block this guy. And so, you know, they're not falling for it. They're not buying any Bill McSci-Fi Bitcoins. But
well, I did, and because you had told me how smart it is to invest, so I don't appreciate that, Bill.
Yeah, it's been a huge pain in the butt.
I bet.
And a friend of mine, she owns an art studio in Dallas that has, like, the mayor is a member of her studio, and police chief, and all these people that, you know, I mean, it's high-end stuff that she sells down there. And you can't walk in the door without going, well, here's a $10,000 check. Can you put a deposit on something for me? You know, I mean, she sells big money stuff. And her account got hacked, and now all these people are getting all these things like, you know, come on down to Dawn's and get some Bitcoin. And they're like, what the? And a lot of people, when they're not computer savvy, they think you're trying to spam them. Like, you're taking advantage of my goodwill. And it's like, no,
right.
No, I'm not. So anyway, it's just a huge train wreck. My new advice to people is instead of don't just click on anything, which Ryan wisely gave us twice, I'm going to add to that, don't take screenshots of anything with a link in it. Just don't do it. You know, if someone asks you to, don't even talk to them. Just block them. And report them for phishing. That's spelled phishing. And just get them out of your life. And I'm really bummed it happened because for me, I had everything was Instagram at Bill McSci-Fi, Twitter at Bill McSci-Fi. Everything was at Bill McSci-Fi. And now Instagram is at Big Bad Bill McSci-Fi because it was the only address I could get that was
clear. Oh, man. Okay, so explain. Well, let's spend a little more time on this because this sounds like it's going around, and in 30 seconds they did a ton of damage. So walk us through exactly what they asked you to do and then what you should not do.
Okay, you should not do what I did. Let's start with that.
Okay.
The very first thing I got was, hey, you know, I'm setting up an influencer account. Can you send me a screenshot of this to show Instagram that I'm influencing people, that I'm doing something positive? It's really, it's a low-key get. It's a low-key ask, and they're not asking you for money. They're not asking you to sign into anything. They're not asking you to do anything except take a screenshot of this.
They wanted you to take a screenshot. They wanted you to take a screenshot and send it to them.
Correct.
Okay.
And that screenshot included a link.
Okay.
It had some other, you know, innocuous stuff on there, but it included a link. And that link gave them access to change your password. Hmm. Once they change your password, they've got access to your account.
Man, that's... Yeah, that seems like anybody could fall for it. And obviously, you're very savvy, but yeah, that seemed very innocuous. And then, boom, that's something you wouldn't think about.
Right, and Instagram, because they're very helpful and they're run by people who care about the people who use their service.
Really?
They wrote me back, well, you get in your password, you lose.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It's your fault. Well, and technically, they're correct. It's my fault. I should never have given this idiot my password, or given them access to my password. But anyway, yeah, that's where it's at. So
you're saying Instagram they don't care about you?
I could sum it up this way. I was at a meeting for the Independent Creators Collective, which is a collection of, you know, indie artists from all around the world, and I'm an assistant editor for their magazine. And we were having a thing about, and Instagram was one of the things we were talking about very specifically. Before Facebook bought Instagram, the ratio went like this. If you had an independent book or an independent art project or anything like that, you were guaranteed between 200 to 300 to 200 to 3,000 hits on it. People would check the links, do what they needed to do, and you'd sell books. And I can personally attest that every time I posted something new, if I put up a short story, I'm in an anthology, that anthology would move up the rankings like 3 or 4 points, you know, which sales, 400 or 500 units would sell off my one post.
Mm-hmm.
That's considerable. That's, you know, I mean, no, it's not J.K. Rowling numbers, but if I'm making a few dollars for every one sold,
that's great.
Uncle Bill pays the rent that week, you know? When Facebook took it over, they implemented Facebook's algorithms. Now anything with a commercial product attached to it requires advertising dollars, and those dollars add up quickly. They say you can boost something for $20, $30. You may as well just take $20, $30 and hand it to me because it's about as useful for your career. Most of the people I've seen are spending between $2,000 and $6,000 a month to get those algorithms to work for them.
What's ridiculous with the new algorithm, especially on Facebook? Like, you know, I promote my band, The Unswept, and we only have like 900, 1,000 followers. So when I send stuff out, and it's not selling anyone anything, it's just saying, hey, we're going to play this show, or hey, you know, you can listen to our new album here. If there are 900 people following us, they probably want to hear from us. How come when I send out a post, it will be like, 23 people reached. Oh, because they want me to spend $50 to reach more people.
Oh, it's more than 50. It adds up really fast.
It's nuts. They're following you because they want to hear from you, but no, you're not allowed to talk to them unless you pay to talk to them.
Well, I mean, yeah. My Bill McSci-Fi post page on Facebook right now is just pretty much a home for me and a couple of friends. It's dead to me. Twitter, I've got 11,000 followers, or actually more than that now. I think it's coming up on 12. But when I put something up on Twitter, I get processed with it. I get hits on it. I have publicists from other companies going, hey, this ties in with what we're doing. Can we, you know, blah, blah, blah. Can we talk?
Mm-hmm.
It's how I ended up. I've talked about it in my newsletter. I've never talked about it here on the show. But it's how I've ended up these last few weeks in discussions. Nothing's happened yet, but I've ended up in discussions with companies that may want to turn my book, The Brittle Riders, into a film or a TV show. That should warp children.
Well, now you're going to have to do it through Elon Musk's production company.
Well, you know, and it's funny. People are all freaked out about Elon Musk, and God knows I'm as left-wing. I'm so left-wing the bird falls when I'm on it, you know. But the fact of the matter is Twitter has signed treaty agreements in the European Union and China and in the Pacific Rim. And those agreements influence American content. In other words, if he puts something up, if he's going to start pushing stuff on the American side, that's going to filter into their site, which it will, they can stop it. They can even take Twitter down, which, of course, would wipe out, I don't know, 80% of their income, 70% of their income, which would make it useless. The other thing is that as much as, you know, he promotes free speech and what have you, he has a record of anyone who disagrees with him getting blocked. And that's going to end up in court because Twitter is supposed to be kind of an open forum. It is not a free speech forum. Freedom of speech is a government thing, not a not a contractual thing.
Right.
But if you're not violating Twitter's contractual obligation, you can get sued for, you know, having your, or they can get sued for taking your stuff down. And that's already starting to bubble up. It's been like, this guy's been out there 2 weeks and he's already, you know, starting to make enemies. So right now I'm just kind of sitting back and laughing and enjoying it. I think it's going to be great theater. I'm not too worried about what he's going to be able to do because there are limits on, there are hard limits on what he can do. And the other members of the board of directors are going to be able to say, Elon, no, do not pet the porcupine. You know, go sit in your corner now and pretend you're doing something. And, you know, and the other problem he has, and this one I saw on Wall Street Journal and a couple of other things, that Tesla, his car company, is woefully overinflated. The value of it is woefully overinflated.
No.
And now that this is happening, if Tesla adjusts to market value, they're going to lose about 70% of their stock prices.
Wow.
Which will wipe out everything he's done. Because there's, here's the thing. I mean, without getting into the whole financial thing, Tesla's big thing is that it is the cutting-edge electronic car company and it's putting out the best electronic cars, blah, 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 electric cars, blah, blah, blah. But Ford has them out, Toyota has them out, Dodge has them out, Chrysler has them out. Each of them are doing very well in their own markets. And the other thing is Tesla has promised a truck and self-driving cars by now. None of those things are even close to fruition. And Ford just put out an F-150 that's electric. That's a truck, ladies and gentlemen. It's an electric truck. Ford put one out, Tesla didn't. And all of a sudden, all this stuff is starting to catch up. That, you know, this may be more smoke and mirrors than anything real. And if that happens, if people catch on that Tesla is just making stuff up as they go along, they're in trouble. And if they're in trouble, Elon Musk's stock buy of Twitter suddenly goes the way of vapors in the morning.
True. Now, I don't want to get sued because obviously I don't have the money he does. I'm a little less money than Elon Musk does, but talking about free speech, hasn't he like slapped people with cease and desist orders if they've talked about, you know, some of the working conditions at Tesla plants?
Yes, he has. He is the cease and desist king.
Okay.
You know, a friend of mine who's an engineer, I don't want to give out too many details, but I'll put it this way. This guy, top of his class, four different colleges, three different master's degrees in different fields, all relating to development of electronic and engineering stuff like that. Worked for this company for about 6 years, 5 years, 6 years, right in that neighborhood, you know. And he just walked out one day. He's like, I'm done. I can't put up with this anymore. And he got a job at a different company and that was not a traditional electronic car company. And he said, I'm making more money. I have less crazy people. There's no strange rules. You know, if you're caught talking on your cell phone between the hours of 8 and 10 in the morning, you can be, you can get marks against your paycheck.
Oh no, and it's going to go down on your permanent record too.
Yeah, he's like, he goes, it's like going to grade school. He goes, you know, he goes, I have three master's degrees. I can go home and design an entire electronic grid for a city off, you know, on napkins. I don't need to be treated like a toddler.
Okay, but you can do that, but then you try to implement that grid, and Musk is just going to launch that thing into space with an EMP, and your grid on paper is even done. That's what money gets you. That's money enables you to shut people up and shut people down, and you get a hold of a forum like Twitter, and you have the money, and it's a private forum, and yes, you talk about free speech is just a government thing, but when that is being used to kind of lead the national discourse, and here's a guy that just likes to, you know, throw money at people to make them go away, but not in a good way. Sure, give me a bunch of money, I'll go away, but no, I'm going to try to hurt you monetarily to make you go away.
Yeah, he's the problem here is that while he can do what he wants inside of Tesla, and he can do what he wants inside of SpaceX, and we won't even get into SpaceX because that's a whole other animal that has government contracts in China,
right,
as well as America. So if he does something to offend the Chinese, they can shut down SpaceX, which that'd be the end of that. That's the end of that party right there, because SpaceX is, I think it's 30 or 40% of it is funded and developed in China using Chinese scientists and so on and so forth. So if the Chinese government steps up and goes, you know, no, you can't say that. They don't have a First Amendment in China. They can just simply say, you can't say that, and they cut off your contracts.
Right.
Now, what do you do?
I mean, there's no debate. There's no discussion. Someone could just say, like, you know, this guy, this is not our kind of guy, and we're done.
Yeah. That can happen in the European Union. That can happen in China. And that can happen in the Pacific Rim. The Pacific Rim seems less concerned about it because Twitter's not really a big thing over there. You know, it has its adherents, and we, as you know, through the years, we actually have our little fan clubs in India and Japan and so on. But they're little. Let's be really honest here. We're not, you know, sweeping the nation by storm or taking the planet by storm. It's like 20 people here, 20 people there. And that may be all the Twitter users in that neighborhood and or in that section of the world. It's just not a huge platform outside of, you know, these areas. And while Twitter itself is not allowed in China, much of the stuff it influences, you know, from news and politics and different things like that, those are reported on in China. Those are reported on in various different media over there. Mm-hmm. And if he hits somebody and offends somebody, obviously they're watching it. So if he hits somebody and offends somebody, they just shut him down. And all of a sudden SpaceX dies. And if SpaceX dies, Tesla stock is popping up SpaceX. So now if they have no money to make off SpaceX, that's going to fall. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's like dominoes. They all just fall at once.
Yeah, it's... You talk about it like that, it seems like it's so easy that one false step could crumble everything. And then it also makes you wonder, wow, how much power do they have in China when they can censor our movies and can get certain things shut down? And if we weren't so dependent on them to make all of our stuff and counting on the business in China to put, you know, make budgets break even, that's, it gets you think about that, how much we depend on China and how much one decision from them can make everything go wrong.
I have a friend, she's a fashion designer who, she lives in Beijing, but I met her when she still lived in Hong Kong, and it was legal for her to talk to me.
Yeah.
And she says basically that one of the things that they have going over there is that every time an American company says, you know, well, we're going to do this or do that, they just cut them down. She goes, we can get another company. We don't need company A. Mm-hmm. We can get company B. We can get company C. We can get company D. Everyone's looking for a deal. She goes, and if I don't get it from America, she goes, I'll get it from Germany, or I'll get it from India, or I'll get it from Africa. I'm going to get it. And she goes, actually, when we get the African companies, we're actually paying more than they're used to in Africa. So they're moving up when they get Chinese people to build stuff because the economies down there are so train wrecked. She goes, but I don't care. You know, she goes, if I shut down an American company and cause them to go bankrupt, I'm still going to tea at 4 o'clock and meeting with my British counterparts.
Yeah, it's a whole new world for me, man. I'm just used to broadcasting for years and years to the little people, not little people, but, you know, our little audience in our area. And now it's global and global and global. So even if one decision, some businessman, some employee from your company could make on Twitter could offend someone overseas. And then your company is facing consequences from one person that can suddenly have a worldwide reach.
That's why, and you're seeing more and more of this. When you're talking to companies, they don't really want access to your private social media feeds unless you're listing the company on them. I know one company says the second you list that you work here on your Facebook page, mm-hmm. we have to have your password.
Wow.
We're not even going to play with this anymore. And I know it sounds harsh, but they got hit, and I'm not going to name the company because they got hit by three different employees posting just absolutely stupid stuff. But had the company name up there, so it looked like the company was supporting them. They got hit with about $5 million in lawsuits in about 3 weeks. And they stopped it and went, everybody sit over here.
All right. Well, that's a good stopping point, Bill, before we describe lawsuits in depth and get one of those ourselves. So I will just send everyone over to BillMcSciFi.com, at BillMcSciFi, at Big Wake Up Call. Find the all-new Big Wake Up Call podcast everywhere you get your podcast, but especially iTunes, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. Bill, thank you as always. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will chat next Friday.
All right, my friend. You take care.